Hallelujah. Come on and put your hands together and give God some praise. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Open up your Bibles. Amen. I want to remind you that June the 3rd, I think that's a Wednesday morning beginning, Reverend Rex Gwaltney will be here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He will be here Wednesday morning, Friday morning, and Friday night. So you want to make all of these services. I think that's June the 3rd at 10 a.m., June the 5th at 10 a.m., and at 7 p.m. We will be having a special Friday morning service only on that day, June the 5th. Reverend Rex Gwaltney, all the way from Milwaukee, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, or whatever it's called. I was going to say Milwaukee, Pennsylvania, but it's Wisconsin. So you need to make your plans to be here. He's a powerful man of God. He's been a member of Pastor Hart, up under Pastor Hart for so many years that he even named his church in Milwaukee, Liberty Temple. Amen. That just goes to show you that the man of God has seeds all over this country and all over this world. Amen. Glory to God. Give God some more praise. If open your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. You've heard this before, but something different is going to happen tonight. Amen. Glory to God. The 7th chapter and the 11th verse. Glory to God. Glory. I want to read the 9th verse in the 7th chapter. It says, "And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. On the 8th day they made a solemn assembly." Why? Because 8 represents the number of new beginning. God is doing not a new thing, but a present thing. God is moving in tremendous ways, and a lot of folks can't see God moving because they are blinded by their own insight. But I thank God for the word of God that has the ability to illuminate our eyes and open up our hearts that we might see that which God has in store for us. In the 11th verse, it says, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make into the house of the Lord. And in his own house, he prosperously affected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer." How many wants God to hear your prayer?
Amen.
Oh, and you know he's heard it. Amen. In this day and age, most folks cry and complain because they don't think that God hears their prayer. Well, you ought to search yourself if you don't think God hears your prayer. And you ought to do those things which you need to do in order that God will hear them. Hallelujah. Just because he don't move when you want him to move don't mean that he did not hear you. Amen. Hallelujah. We seem to think that if God hears our prayer, he moves and does the miraculous just right off the bat. But sometimes God wants you to go through what you're going through so that you can give some understanding of why you're going through it for the purpose of God has in your life. And it's important that we understand that. See, that's why it's important that we not complain and bellyache and whine and murmur about the circumstances and situations of our life, because they all have a purpose.
Absolutely.
And the Lord appeared to Solomon, and then it says, "and have chosen this place." I like that. "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. And I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. But if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people," who? "Which are called by my name shall humble themselves and do what? Pray. And do what? Seek my face. And do what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. He says, then will I hear from heaven. You want to make sure you get a prayer through from God? Then you pray. Then you seek his face. And then you turn from your wicked ways. Once you do that, then God will hear your prayer. And he will hear from heaven. And will forgive their sin. And will heal their land. How many want your land healed? I know I do. Amen. We need our land to be healed. And it is so important that we know that God has heard our prayer. Well, let's go back to the 11th verse. Glory to God. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that was what? Came into Solomon's heart to make it in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. It's important that we understand that Solomon was doing the house of the Lord. This was days after the house was already finished. But as he was working in the house of the Lord, there was something about his heart that made God hear him. We know that God searches the intents of a man's heart. So as God searched his heart, God found that in his heart there was something very significant, something that was very special, something that was loving, something that was kind, that he wasn't doing it for his own benefit. He wasn't doing that he could be blessed, but he was doing it in the name of the Lord. When you do things in the name of the Lord, it makes you stretch yourself. It'll cause you to put yourself out there. It'll make you put yourself in a position where you hurt and you seem stressed and fatigued. But God said, don't worry, for in your weakness, yet are you strong. But the problem is we have to recognize why we're doing what we're doing. Most folks do what they do to get patted on the back. A lot of folks do what they do because they want to be seen. Some folks do what they do because they think God will owe them a special favor. I found out God don't owe us anything. Everything that is owed by us. So Solomon did what? He completed the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. Amen. Somebody say night. He appeared unto him by night. Why? Because the night represents the beginning of a new season. There is a new season about to take place in your life. A season of prosperity. A season of blessedness. A season of strength. A season of joy. A season of love. A season of peace. A season of strength. These things are about to take place in your life. Why? Because you have put yourself in the house of the Lord to dedicate yourself as the house of the Lord. See, it's good that we can do that. We can bring our house into his house and receive the same blessing that he gives. Solomon received the same blessing for his house that he received in God's house. Why? Because when God searches your heart and gives an understanding of why you built the house, then he'll understand why you're building your house. A lot of we build our house for the wrong reasons. God wants us to build our houses that he might be the temple, or be the strength of the house, or be the foundation of the house. He wants us to build our house to be a tabernacle, that he might tabernacle himself in us and with us and through us. But sometimes that means you have to go the extra mile. Sometimes that means you have to say things you don't want to say. That means sometimes you have to get up when you're tired and pray. You mean to fast when you don't feel like fasting. You need to study when you don't feel like studying. Sometimes you need to love folks that hate you, and you need to pray for them that despitefully use you. See, doing the work of God means that you got to go far beyond the call of duty, because God expects you to. Well, the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Boy, that would make me feel so good for God to tell me, son, I heard your prayer. Especially when you've been whining and crying, Sister Linda, and pressing and scratching and groaning and moaning, trying to get through to God. I mean, you've been supplication, and then all of a sudden God says, listen here, stop it. I heard you. I heard you. You're talking about a jolt. A jolt of power and enlightenment that would flow down to your spirit that lets you know that your God that created the heavens and the earth heard you. Your God that formed man heard you. The same God that caused the firmament to be what it is heard you. The same God that is in control of all things, whether it be in heaven or on the earth, heard you. The same God, the same God.
Same God.
Heard your prayer. This infinite one. Jehovah, the Elohim, the great creator, heard your prayer. It's because you're special unto him. And he said, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen means to try, appoint, or join this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Also talking about being Christ in us, the hope of glory, and him being Jesus, the Emmanuel, meaning him being with us. God wants us to know that when you build the house of God and you take your house the same way God is taking his house, then God will hear your prayer. And in the midst of hearing your prayer, God will heal your land.
Amen.
Hail glory. God said, I chose this place to myself. God has chosen you to himself. Amen. As a house of sacrifice. That's why the Bible says, present yourself unto God a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. That means that regardless of what you're going through, it's supposed to be easy to sacrifice yourself to God. Well, it's hard sometimes to sacrifice yourself to God. Especially when you're being persecuted, you're being afflicted, you're being talked about, your money is short, things are going on in your life that you can't control, you don't know what to do about it, and you seem to be praying, and your prayers seem to be bouncing off the wall. But what I did find out, even though you don't think your prayer is going through, God is already in the midst of your spirit searching your heart. That's why he said he knows everything that you have need of. If he knows what the sparrow needs, he most certainly knows what you need. That's why he said don't pray amiss. We ask, thank God, for things that God has already said we have. We ask God to meet needs that he's already searched our hearts and see that we need. So if we spend more time glorifying him and praising him, we spend less time begging from him.
Right.
Because whether you realize it or not, he has already chosen us for a house of sacrifice.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to be the sacrifice that God wants me to be. Because you know what comes with sacrifice? Blessing. And God really is never going to kill you. He's always going to have that ram in the bush. Amen.
Glory
to God. So I've chosen this place. God, the word of God came on the man and he said, if I shut up heaven, that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among all my people, what is he saying? If they talk about wars and rumors of wars, if the economy falls by the wayside, folks losing their jobs by the thousands and by the millions. Yeah. Folks don't know where their next meals are going to come from. If my people. Are you God's people? How many here are God's people? How many here are God's people? How many here are going through even though you're still God's people? Well, how many know if you're going through and you're God's people that God got it? But he wants you to keep the right attitude and the right disposition so that he can move. When you get yourself in the wrong attitude, you prevent God from moving.
Right.
Hallelujah. God said, boy, if I shut up the heaven and there's no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, make sure you're his. And you're not somebody else's or something else's. Forget that something. Which are called by my name. You've been called by the name of God. Glory to God. How many here have been called by the name of God? I mean, you've been called by his name, shall humble themselves. I want you to look at something. Let's look at that which are called by his name. Go to Isaiah real quick. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. We have been called by his name. What does the Bible say about the name of Jesus? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. There's joy in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that you seek, whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that you're praying for is in the name of Jesus. And he said, you've been called by that name. In the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, it says, listen here, but now, the first verse, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, or fashioned thee, or made you different, thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, how many see that formed?
Right.
No. Oh, my God. Fear not, for I have did what? Redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. In the book of Chronicles, God said, for my people which are called by my name, your name is tied in with his name, and his name is tied in with your name. And one thing I found about God, he's not going to hurt himself. He's not going to let himself be destroyed, and he will not let himself be cast down. So if your name is tied in with his name, and his name is tied in with your name, you can ask what you will in his name, believe it, and it shall be done unto you. But it's according to your faith and not anybody else's.
Amen.
He said, if you've been called. I like the word call here because in the Hebrew it means to be announced. It means to announce. What is he saying, Sister Vaughn? What he's saying is when you get in trouble, God announces your name to your trouble. When you're sick in your body, God announces your sickness. God said, this is her sickness. I command it to be healed. This is their problem. I'm announcing their name unto you because they have power and victory in me. I'm announcing their situation unto you because they're tied in with me. I'm announcing their circumstance to you because I'm tied in with them. Meaning that victory is not theirs, but is mine, saith the Lord. And if victory is mine, all they've got to do is walk in this victory. Doesn't matter how they feel or what they're experiencing, knowing that victory is theirs. Why? Because they've been called by my name and they have no need to fear because they've been redeemed and I have called, I have announced them. Hallelujah. That's just like the example when the sons of Sceva went to try to cast out them demons. Them demons said, look here, we don't know you brothers, I'm paraphrasing, but we can really put a whipping on y'all. But before we do, we want you to understand something. Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but we don't know you. Why did he know Paul? For the same reason he knew Jesus. Because their name had been announced by God. If you've been called by his name, God will announce your name throughout the heavens. Not only will men know your name, but demons will know your name too. And when they come into your presence, you don't have to be afraid, but they've got to come under subjection to the name that God gave you. And what name did God give you? Emmanuel, meaning Christ with you, Holy One with you, the Glorious One with you, the Healer with you, the Prophet is with you, the Teacher is with you, the Pastor is with you. Whatever it is you need for that day is with you. Why? Because you've been called by the name of God. God has set your name on high, and everybody knows your name. So they got to come under subjection to the name that God has given you. Yeah, you've been called by the name. And what's more important about the whole thing, God said, thou art mine.
Thou art mine.
Lord, have mercy. I think folks rather fight anybody but God. You know, saying your arms are too short to fight with God, box with God. I don't know why folks boxing with him. When you don't do what the word says, that's all you're doing is boxing with God. Go back to Chronicles. Back in Chronicles, say, if my people, which are called by what? My name, his name, shall humble, Lord, have mercy, shall humble themselves. I like the word humble because most folks don't want to get involved in humbling. Because it means you have to be quiet when you want to talk. It means you have to sit when you want to stand. It means you have to go right when you want to go left, and you have to go left when you want to go right. Because God is leading you in different directions than that which you have already think you need to go. Humble, submit, and do what? And pray. Pray here means to commune with God. You know what? I'm guilty of this. I tend to talk at God instead of talk to him. It's easy to talk at God because we spend our time telling God what we need. God, I need this and I need that. I need you to do this. I need you to move that. I need that to be taken care of. Instead of communing with God, Lord, I love you. Lord, I appreciate you. Lord, I love you. Lord God, I thank you for this light affliction. I thank you for this stress and I thank you for this pain. I know it sounds crazy to be thanking God for things that you're going through, but if you learn to thank him for the things you're going through, you'll find out that your strength is not in yourself, but it's in him. And when you find out that your strength is in him, then you realize that you can stand. And having done all to stand, you can keep standing because you realize that your power is coming straight from the throne room of God. So he wants you to commune or pray. And then he says, seek my face. The word seek means to strive after or search out. You have to search out God. You have to seek out God. Why? Because scripture says, folks are looking for things that they really not going to find because they think that they have everlasting life in him. Oh. But you don't if you're not doing it the way God wants you to do it. The Bible says, search the scriptures for in them you think ye have everlasting life. You better find out what God is saying. Don't go by what you think. Find out what he's saying. Don't ever take my word for it. Find out for yourself. Learn of yourself. Ask God for the understanding and the wisdom and the knowledge that you need. Never take another man's or another woman's concept of what the word of God is saying. Get into the Bible and find out what God wants you to know. We spend so much time trying to live according to somebody else's word. You got to live according to the word that God has given you. Yeah. Right. Hallelujah. It's quiet in this house. He says, strive after, search out my face. Not somebody else's, but my face. And that means that you might look for the presence and the favor of God. You can only get to the presence and the service of God, the presence of God, if you do what? You got to first humble yourself. A lot of people don't find the favor of God because they don't know how to be humble. We get self-exalted and high-minded and lifted. Oh, that ain't what God's talking about. He said, you need to find my presence and my favor. And then, listen to that. After you've communed, after you strove after and searched out and sought the face of God, the presence and the favor of God, after you're doing all that, then you still got to do something else. You got to turn from your wicked ways. Amen. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Wicked here means to be naughty or injurious to others. I know ain't nobody else, nobody here does that. You got to turn from your ways where you are injurious, you're naughty, or you're injurious to others. You cause others to be hurt, to be afflicted, to be bound, to be cast down, to be hurt in their hearts, in their spirits, or in their souls. Don't do any good to commune and pray and don't turn. Then God said, I'll hear from heaven. I like when he says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. I like the part where he says, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. Well, we assume that he's talking about he will hear from heaven above and then he'll forgive their sin. But the Bible says, for we are seated in heavenly places already. For we are already seated in heavenly places. All God's got to do is hear from the inner man on the inside of you. Understand that the concepts and the precepts of his word are manifesting themselves in your life. And then God will forgive your
sin.
The word sin here is not sins. It's not talking about that that comes forth from sin, but it's talking about sin. God will forgive the attacks or the afflictions of your old nature. Why? Because the old man don't want to humble himself. He don't want to be humility. He doesn't want humility. The old man don't want to forgive. Or he say, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. If you don't forget, you haven't forgiven. Hell is enlarging itself for folks that forgive and don't forget. He said, I will hear from heaven. Lord, have mercy. I like that word here because it means ascribing to God what belongs to God and rational beings. Whatever belongs to God, that is what God will hear, and he will hear you. And then he said, I will heal their land. Talking about the earth or whatever that belongs to you. Whatever it is that you stand upon, whatever that is close to you, God said he will heal it. Whether it be your husband, your wife, your children, hey, God will heal your cat, your dog. Whatever it is that you have faith to believe God for, God said he'll heal it. Why? Because you have humbled yourself before God. You've humbled yourself before man, and you have sought the face of God, and you found his face, you found his favor, and you found his presence, and you've turned from them ways that separated you from the kingdom of God. You turn from them ways that were keeping you from being blessed. You've turned. A lot of folks don't get healed because of their attitudes. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Whoo, Lord God. The word heal means to mend and repair, to make whole. Turn means to retreat, recover, or withdraw. You have to withdraw yourself sometimes from things that are destroying you. And let's be real. You know what's destroying you. Everybody knows what's destroying them. You know the weakest part of your flesh and what has the ability to destroy you. So you have to make up your mind that you're going to do what? Turn from your wicked ways. Our problem is, Brother Tim, we don't want to accept the fact that we have wicked ways. We just Holy Ghost filled, born again, fire baptized, walking, breathing, Holy Ghost Christians. Everything that's ever done wrong is done to us and not by us. Humility will tell you all the time, you need to check yourself. Maybe you didn't say that right. Maybe you didn't do that right. Maybe you didn't go the right way. Maybe you weren't kind enough. Maybe you didn't have the right peace. Maybe you allowed your emotions to get the best of you. Maybe you didn't do this. Your humility will always, humility talks to you, Sister Sherry.
Yeah.
Humility is a life all in itself. It talks to you. God wants you to hear what humility is telling you so that you can turn or be transformed from your wicked ways and stop your stumbling and your shortcoming and do the work of God. God said, mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend to the prayer that is made in what? This place. Where? In you. If you turn from your wicked ways, humble yourself, begin to pray, commune with God. If you begin to seek the face of God, seek the favor of God, then God will hear your prayer. God will search your heart. God will open up his eyes and he will make his home in your place. Well, glory to God. I love it because God puts the ball all in our court. We try to put it in Satan's court, but God said, here, let me check. I'm going to put it back in your court. I'm going to put it where it belongs, in your court. Here, now you do what you need to do with it. Because I'm here with you to strengthen you and to encourage you and uplift you. But only you can prevent forest fires.
Amen.
Everybody stand. Hallelujah. And you know what kind of forest fire I'm talking about. Everybody come down front if you want us to pray for you.